1 John chapter 5, we've been going through 1 John for quite a while now, and we've had a little hit and miss there in between with all that's going on, all the moving transition and all those things, and Lord willing, 1 John 5, we're going to wrap her up tonight, I hope so, and the Lord will direct us in that, I pray. But 1 John 5, wonderful book. Again, don't need to rehash some things, but just a little bit. John was battling and dealing with a lot of the Gnostics of his day, people that believed, in particular, that Jesus was not always God, but that he was, as he came up out of the water at his baptism, that you remember the Holy Spirit came down as a dove, that's when he became the Messiah. That's when he became, if you will, deity. And then it left him at the cross. So he was not always God. Now that's heretical teaching. We don't believe that. The Bible's clear on that, that God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus was God. And we know that, but that's what John was battling in his day with those people there at the end, right at the latter part of the first century AD. And so that's something he's dealing with. Now, 1 John chapter 5, notice if you will, verse 1, he says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." So there he is. He's really emphasizing the deity of Christ. And just a little side note, I'll throw this out here for free. You know how to spell deity. It's D-E-I-T-Y. Deity never dies. Remember that. So when you go to spell it, you don't spell D-I-E. Okay. Now, when you go to spell it someday, you're going to go, "Brother Tim taught me that." Okay, that was for free. Okay, deity never died. He was born of God. Notice, "And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." He says, if you love the Father, you love the Lord, you're going to love the Christ. "By this know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Notice this, "and his commandments are not" what? "Grievous." Now you want to underline that in your Bible. They're not grievous. They're not burdensome, is the literal translation there. Burdensome, a weight. You know, you think about some people. We go to do the commands of God. Boy, they're burdensome sometimes to me. I go, "Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do those things." Children say, "I don't want to obey mom and dad." Well, if you find to do the commands of God a joyful thing, you'll have the joy and peace of God in your heart, won't you? And we know that to be true. Okay. Notice, "for whatsoever is," verse 4, "is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcometh? He says the world. "But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And this is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now, as we stop and pause there for a second, we look at tonight, number one, how we see that there are witnesses to Christ. And this is what John is laying out for us. There are witnesses to the person and deity of Jesus Christ. So many people today, and I've talked to people, and they said, "Well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, but I also believe in Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism." You ever talk to someone like that? "I believe it's all good. I believe you can know all of it. I think Jesus is a good addition to my faith." And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches something called exclusivity of Jesus Christ, that he is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Now, this is very clear. And John emphasizes this. He says there are witnesses to this. One of them is being the victory that we have. Not only the obedience, we talked a little bit about last time, that the commands are not grievous, but the victory that comes into the Christian life. A great pastor of the past, Dr. Lee Robertson, you may have heard of him, but he said more Christians do not understand the victorious Christian life than any other. He said they don't understand what it means to be victorious. And every Christian ought to be victorious. Every one of us, if you're a child of God, you ought to be living the victorious Christian life. You ought to know, "Hey, I know whom I have believed," as Paul said, "and am persuaded he's able," right? He's able. And so we see here that there's a witness, the victory. Do you have victory tonight in Christ? Are you living the victorious life, or is it humdrum? Is it down and out? Is it always a bad spirit? Is it always, "Woe is me? Well, if we could just get through this issue and problem." You know, so many Christians walk around like that, don't they? But no, we have a victory in him, a victory in Christ. We love to sing the song, "Oh, victory in Jesus." Oh, we know that. Now, what's our victory? It's our faith. What overcomes this old world? This world is downtrodden. It's angry. It's frustrated. It's hateful, isn't it? It's mean-spirited. Some of you dear folks work around worldly people every day. And you know that to be true. What is the victory over that? Well, it's the faith that you have. It's the faith in Christ. It's the faith in the Word of God. It's the faith in the work of God, that He's able, that He's willing, that He's love, that He cares for us, as we talked in chapter 4 about the love of Christ. So we see here an evidence of the person of Christ is not only our obedience, but it is the victory. Notice verse 6, though, the person of Christ, he says he came by water and blood. Now, this meaning in particular, water being the baptism of Christ, but it also has been linked to as that of the birth of Christ. Now, in John 3, Jesus talks about that. If a man's born of what? Water and of the Spirit. So that water he's talking about is a physical birth, wasn't he? Nicodemus, you remember, in John 3 came by night. And Nicodemus said, oh, can I go back again in my mother's womb? Nicodemus was not being a fool. He was not a ding-dong, if you will. He was being sarcastic because he was a ruler of the Jews. He's very intellectual. He was being a little bit mocking to Christ and said, can I go back into my mother's womb a second time? And Jesus very kindly and graciously said, no, you must be born again. There are two births that should take place. You know that, physical one, but also spiritual. Spiritual. And if there's two births, there's only one death, isn't there? There's only the physical death. One day we'll die. But if there's only one birth, there will be two deaths. Isn't that true? Little Bible math, and we've heard that before. But you see here, he says he was one. Not only that, the incarnation of Christ, that virgin birth, that's evidence of who Jesus is, isn't it? The evidence. But only that, but the baptism of Christ, you know that. As John said, Lord, I shouldn't be the one baptizing you, Lord. You should be baptizing me. I'm not even worthy to bow down and unlatch your sandal, if you will. And what did Jesus say to John? No. For now, suffer it for now, right? That all things, basically, that we'd fulfill things that have been prophesied and all those other things. And John said, okay, absolutely, whatever you say, Lord. And John, again, immersion, went under the water, came up out of the water. Today, baptism is the same. We identify with Christ in that. It's a symbol. It does not save us. But it's the death, the burial, and then up out of the water is the resurrection, and we identify with Him. But anyways, as He came up out of the water, you know the situation came, and that Holy Spirit came down like a dove, it says, descended upon Christ, an evidence that He is the Messiah, right? And we know that, and many other things throughout the gospel account. But also the blood, notice that. The blood, that is, again, His vicarious, that is His willing atonement or sacrifice on the cross for you and for me. And we see that. There's so many evidences of that. Well, He's just a good man. Any man could have been hung on the cross like that. Well, yes, but all the things that took place, you remember, all the things that were evidences or witnesses of Him being the deity. You remember the earthquake took place. Earthquakes. Talking with Miss Teresa just about some of the things down there in Louisiana, right? All the natural disasters, the hurricane, and all the things happening down there. But an earthquake is a natural disaster. There was just an earthquake, you know, in Mexico City just recently. I think it was a couple weeks ago. A large earthquake killed many people. There's earthquakes all the time. There was one just, I think, a couple days ago in Los Angeles. And we were up and lived up there in Palmdale area for a while as well. And you know the San Andreas Fault runs right down, right in the middle of that city. And you actually can drive, as you're driving up the highway, you actually cross, you can see it's a big, giant divot there. And you can see it. It's very interesting. But if that baby cracks open, California's gone, right? We always laugh about that. And don't clap or anything, okay. But you think about what's going on. That earthquake took place. You remember, the veil was rent in twain. That was a very, if you've done any study on a very thick curtain, very thick. No man could just take, or no man, you could tie two oxen to it and pull it and maybe even get a slit on the bottom to get it started and pull it. It'd be very hard to do. Where was it? From the top to the bottom, wasn't it? Top to the bottom. And so it was evidence of, these are just some things. There's many, many things. But just talking about that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Christ. And He says these things bear witness. And also He says it is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. the Holy Spirit. If you're saved tonight, I believe you are, but some of our little ones are not saved yet. But if you're saved, you identify with that. You have the Holy Spirit within you, right? You come together with the believers. There's identity, isn't there? There's one thing that we ought to have in the church, and that's identity. And with identity comes union or unity with Him. And so thinking about all of those things, the Spirit of truth. Do you have the Spirit of truth tonight? He says in verse 7, as we continue, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Now, won't get into all that, but verse number 7 is greatly refuted and they're battled over because many scholars believe that verse 7 was added later. And in particular, the latter portion of it was written in italics, which you folks know that our English translators would add italics. Anytime they added something for our English sentence structure, they put it in italics. Meaning, in their honesty and integrity, they said, okay, here, Faithway Baptist Church in 2021, I want to make sure that you know that we added this. We're not being dishonest. This is what we added. Okay, that's why they put it in italics. So the latter portion, maybe in your Bible, I don't know, is in italics, meaning they added some of it. Now, it's very clear that he's not adding to or taking away from the Scripture when they put that there. We know that. They're putting it for emphasis again, okay? There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word. The Word is who? It's Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Very clear. Okay, I don't need to belabor that. We've been through that. Now, verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, the blood. These three agree in one. It's very clear what God wants us to do. It's very clear what He's given us. The Holy Spirit to guide us. He's given us baptism. He's given us the blood atonement. He's given us salvation. All of those things. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. Now, verse number 10, notice this. He says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. What is that? The Holy Spirit. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. There is no other way to receive eternal life except through the Son, the capital S-O-N. And that's so true. We know that. Jesus said, in particular to the apostles, in John 14, He said what? I am the way, T-H-E, the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way. No other way to get, He says, to the Father. Now, clearly here, John is laying out that there are people that are lying about the way to eternal life. Again, as we said, they're battling those unbelieving people. Those people that were, in all intents and purposes, the Gnostics of the day. We have them today still, don't we? We have, and I refer to them as cult-type people, but the people that don't believe the Word of God. They add to it. They say Jesus is a good person, and Jesus was a good prophet, and Jesus taught a lot of good things, and Jesus loved the little children. Yes, I know, but He was not God. He died on the cross, a cruel death, and we feel sorry for Him. We don't want to see anyone do that. But He did not rise again. These are heretical teachers. We've got to be careful. Now again, coming back to the Scriptures, do you know the Bible? John says you're a liar. You've made God a liar, if you will, if you believe not the record that God gave of His Son. And I like that. Well, what's the record? We just read some of it. But there's a record. You have 66 books here tonight in your own language, by the way. So we're teaching some of the little ones how to read still, and they're learning very quickly, but it takes a lot of time. You remember learning how to read? Well, that was tough. And it takes time, but you're reading and reading. Well, God gave us a record right here, 66 books compiled in one volume, not 66 different books that you have to go out and find. He made it very convenient for us, didn't He? Very convenient. And it's written in our language and very clear. I was just the other day asking my wife about something in Spanish, and she tried to explain it to me. But if you've ever learned Spanish or tried to learn another language especially, she told me, she said, English is horrible to try and learn. It's one of the hardest languages. But anyways, you cannot literally translate something, right? For us, it's I'm going to the store. In Spanish, it may be to the store, I am going, right? And you're going, wait, what? But you think about, I thought about all of that. And these translators got the Bible ready for us 2021. We're not confused. We know English. We know what we're reading. And they did all of this. But anyways, an evidence or a record that God gave of his son. We have no excuses for that. Now, I really want to hit on these verses here this evening. And notice verse 11. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Again, clearly, an emphasis. Verse 12, he that hath the son hath life. He that hath not the son hath of God hath not life. I love that verse. You might want to underline it or memorize it especially, because I've used it many times in sharing the gospel with people. I remember one young man I sat down with, and he was confused, and I gave him this verse. I said, here, it's as clear as this. He that hath the son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Do you have life? Do you have eternal life? And he shook his head and said, no. And I said, it's very clear. Do you have the Son, the Jesus Christ that we're talking about? And John puts it way down on the bottom for us, that low-lying fruit for us to take hold of. It's not high up to where we can't understand it. It's very clear. Do you have that? Do we have that? If you ever share the gospel with an individual, if you ever get that privilege, you go to these verses. Take them through the Romans road, yes. Show them some of the verses that we read in John 3, John 14, John 8, all these verses, Ephesians 2, Titus 3, but also bring them to 1 John 5, because you're going to find that it is very helpful to a new individual who does not understand the Bible, who's never read the Bible, who's never, maybe only a handful of times, stepped inside of a church building, and they'll say, oh, I understand now. And John said this, it's easy as this. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, again, underline that word there, know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Knowledge. Do you have a knowledge? Do you have an understanding of that? Very clear. You have heard people before too, and I have as well, that said, I cannot know. I just don't know if I'm saved. I'm just not sure about it. Well, if you're truly saved, you don't question that. Now, there'll be times if you live in sin or step away from God, you may begin to question things that you shouldn't. You may begin to get a lot of doubt, and that's what the adversary does. He puts doubt in our minds, doubts in our heart, gets us away from the Lord. But if you serve Him and live for Him, you don't doubt that. You know that you have eternal life. Why? Because He said earlier, the witness is the Spirit of truth. He'll guide you into all truth. John reminds the apostles in John 14, 15, 16, 17, that great, great portion of Scripture that I'd encourage you to read. But he says what? I'm going away, fellas. And they said, Lord, why do you have to go away? And he explains it to them. And then he says, I'm leaving you what? The Comforter, capital C, Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, He will guide you unto all truth. I like having a guide, don't you? Someone who guides me and helps me, shows me what to do. And he says, He'll remind you even of all the things that I taught you. He'll remind you of that. He'll bring to remembrance of those things. That's what the sweet Holy Spirit will do. But notice, we can have a knowledge of, an understanding of, a security of, a confidence in our salvation. Verse 14, let's wrap this up here. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now again, notice, according to His will, people believe, well, you ask God, you name it and claim it. Anything you want, you just ask God, He'll give it to you. Well, is it according to His will? And that's why I would always encourage you to preface your prayers with that. Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine. If you want us to have 20 acres next door, you will do it, Lord. But if not, that's okay, I guess, Lord. You ever pray that? I guess, if not. If you don't want me to have that red Corvette, I guess not. Man, Lord, you know I need it, right? But you know, according to His will, He says, notice, we have that. Now, why do we have that confidence? That we can ask anything because we know who He is. We know He's our Savior. Verse 15. And if we know that He heareth whatsoever we ask, we know, notice again, there's that word, that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. He's listening. He's listening. He's hearing you. He's hearing you. The adversary will try and get you to believe that He doesn't hear you. He doesn't care, but He's listening. If any man see his brother sin a sin, notice he shifts gears, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and He will give him life for them that sin not unto death. And He says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And now, shifting gears a little bit, He talks about seeing a brother sin a sin and not unto death. There are sins. We're going to sin. We know that. And we see here that we're going to sin every day. He said that in verse 1. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of those things. But he says, if you see a brother sin, you pray for him, and there's a sin unto death, thinking about this, that there can an individual can sin. Again, this is a child of God. He can sin enough. Habitual, repeated, unrepentant, sinful behavior to where God will, in a lot of ways, have to take them home. Because why? They're doing more damage to the gospel. They're turning more people away from the gospel than they're bringing them in. Weren't you a Christian? Well, yeah, I was. You know. Didn't you used to go to church? Well, yeah, but not anymore. Didn't you believe in Christ and preach the Bible? Yeah, I did, but I don't believe any of that anymore. What are they doing? They're turning more people away. And there is a sin. Now, this is very rare. We know that. And that's why John says, you don't pray for this. This is not your duty, your responsibility. This is not your area. You don't pray for this. Well, Lord, you ought to just take them home. Lord, take her home. She's just causing more trouble than help. We don't do that, right? And he's very serious. You know that. But he emphasizes that all unrighteousness is sin, he says. All of it. There's unrighteousness, sinful behavior, bad thoughts, lying, often being dishonest, not doing what we should, all those things, he says, and beware of that. And then verse 18, he says, we know, there it is again, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Again, just emphasizing here, it is not teaching sinless perfection. He's not saying, as some people taught, even in John's day, that you could come to a point where you do not sin. There's only one person who ever walked the earth that was sinless, the impeccability of Christ, we call it, and he had no sin. In him was no sin. That was Jesus. But you cannot come to that point. We all sin. We know that. Till the day you breathe your last breath, you will sin, although you don't want to and although you hate sinning, although I know you do as I do. We're going to mess up. We're fallible human beings, okay? We're finite, and we know that. But he says, notice, we know him. We're born of him. We don't sin. We don't go after sin. We know that we've sinned. We repent immediately. Lord, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have looked at that. I shouldn't have gone and been dishonest in this. I should have helped them out. I know they needed help, but I kind of just ignored it. Oh, whatever it is, I know that. There's much deeper things than that. But he says that. We see here, as he says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Notice, there's a responsibility. You know what's right. You know what's not right. Now keep yourself, right? He that the wicked one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. There's a differentiate between the two. This world is wicked. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Isn't that so true? Now thinking through this here, let's wrap it up, these two verses, and we know that the Son of God has come. He hath given us an understanding. We may know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And now an understanding here that he gives, knowledge, understanding. He's given it to us. Now let me just say again, by way of conclusion here, he's given us everything we need to know him. He's given us everything beyond that to obey him. He says, here you go. Lord, what do I do to obey you? Here you go. What's going to please you? And he says, here's a list. Here's what I want you to do. God is not playing games with us. God does not dangle the carrot in front of us. God does not ask us to do something that he knows we can't fulfill. Here, Tim, I want you to do this. But he knows I can't do it. I want you to translate the Bible into Mandarin Chinese. He knows I can't. Lord, I don't even know English. Lord, help me. I'm being funny, but you know. He's not going to do that. He's given you talents and abilities that only you have. Some of you would die if I asked you to come up here behind the pulpit and say something. Others of you would love it, right? Some of you would just have a heart attack if we asked you to fill in for Brother Adam back there with the soundboard and the recording. That's me, recording equipment. Some of you would die if we said, now you stay home from work tomorrow and you take care of the kids like Mama does. We'd go, no. Right. Some of us, I just the other day with the girls, I said, they asked me a question. I think it was mathematical or something. I don't know. And they asked me something about their schoolwork. It's difficult. Man, I'm like, you're only in third grade. What in the world are they teaching you? But you know that. He says here, I've given you an understanding. You can know him that is true. We're in him that is true. And carefully watch what you do and walk according to the Word of God and the will of God. And he ends it here. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Little strange ending to it, but he's very clear. As he was dealing with these people of the day, they were contaminating his. He uses the term little children as he was up in age now at this latter portion of his life as he's writing some of this. And he's referring to the people that he had led to the Lord and he had watched grow. And so he calls them. He says, keep yourselves from idols. Be careful. Again, an idol is anything that comes between you and the Lord, anything that comes between me and my Savior. And thinking through, now, do you know Him tonight? And do you have the Son in your life? Do you have Him? Do you believe He's the Christ? Do you believe that He's the begotten one of God? And John says, by this you can know. You can know you're a child of God. You ever deal with somebody struggling with the knowledge of salvation or security of salvation? They're not sure. They feel like, I've heard one fellow said, he said, Brother Tim, I feel like I lost my salvation. I feel like I sinned too much. You ever deal with somebody like that? You take them here, especially to chapter 5, and walk them through and let them know that you can have a knowledge of God, an understanding, a confidence in Him that they're truly born of God and they know Him. Okay. Well, I'll stop there tonight, but we have a great witness and many witnesses to the deity and person of Jesus Christ. And by the way, boy, it's all contained right here. Okay? Now I want to encourage you to spend time in your Bible this week. Take time. You're not too busy. I'm not too busy. We've got to spend, this is vital, number one on your priority list tomorrow, spending time here, even if it's a short time, even if it's just a chapter or two chapters, whatever you can get in. I'd encourage you to listen to it on your phone if you can. Any way you can get the Scriptures in and get that junk out of your mind and your heart, that resentment, bitterness, anger, that frustration with other people, your stress, your anxiety, all of that will dispel, will get away when you spend time in the Scriptures. And we know that. Again, also spend time in the Word of God, but also in prayer. Spend time in prayer. Take time to pray. We need to spend that time alone with Him so that we know that we know that we know, right? We have confidence in Him. Okay. Thank you for listening so well tonight. I'll stop there. But again, Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday morning, 11, and then Sunday night, evening at 6. And we'll make some more announcements in the days to come with some of those things we're hoping to do. Okay. All right. Lord, thank you for a time this evening. We can gather together again and share your word. And I pray that something said tonight as we explored chapter 5 a little bit and expounded in some of these areas, Lord, that something said was an encouragement, was a help, and I pray you'd help all of us, God. Just the knowledge, the confidence we have in you, that we know, we can know you, number one, as our Savior, but we can know what you expect of us. We can know what you want from us. We're so thankful for that. In a world that's so lost, a world that's so confused, a world that doesn't even know which way is up, they don't know who they are, their identity. They're not even sure if they're a girl or a boy. They don't know anything. They're just so confused. We can know for sure, Lord, that you are Savior and what you want from us and expect of us. Lord, help us in this week, the rest of the week, to spend proper amount of time in your word, proper amount of time in prayer. And God, keep us strong and strengthen us with the Holy Spirit as we seek to reach the lost around us. Bless our church and guide us. Be with these prayer requests mentioned in Jesus' precious name. We do pray these things. Amen.